Hi, I'm Tasia, the Jill of all trades.
And I'm Farron, your Bohemian baddie.
And we are Millennial Frequency.
This segment is about our Millennial Declaration to express what the is going on in the world.
We have 20 questions that need answers.
And clearly, we don't have them. Hey guys, so for my Millennial Declaration this week, I have some questions that for the haters, for the trolls, forget the haters, the trolls. I have some questions for the trolls, so just vibe with me on this because this happened last week. I had a troll get in my DM. This troll follows me. This troll is somebody I know. It wasn't even like on, oh, I'm giving you some constructive criticism. It was on, I'm just straight insulting you because I can type-ish. And I just had to get them right on together. But I know people deal with trolls every day. And I just got some questions. So just vibe with me on this. I'm just going to shoot one through 20. First off, why? Just why? Why would you just get in someone's DM or in someone's comment and just spill all this negativity? Just why? Why are you following? For the trolls, why are you following someone that you do not like? Why? Why are you taking out the time to comment or DM someone? Why do you care? Do you have anything else better to do? Like, really? Nothing else? Who do you think you are? Are you insane? What's your problem? Are you trying to get cussed out? Are you attention deprived? Are you serious? Why can't you just get a life? Why don't you unfollow? Why can't you get a clue? Are you dumb? Are you mad? Are you jealous? Are you looking to get snapped on? You feel me? That's all I got, y'all. That's just some questions for the trolls. The top is hot. The top is hot. The top is hot. The top is hot. Hey guys, so for Hot Topics, I just want to say RIP to Nipsey Hussle. He passed away yesterday, and this was on Sunday night. That was going to be the 30th. And he was gunned down in front of his business. And it's really sad. He was a rapper, and he also was an activist. He actually was scheduled to meet with the LAPD along with Roc Nation to discuss how to eliminate or reduce gun violence in the city. And so I want to say RIP to him. He leaves behind Lauren London, his partner, along with two children. And a lot of people have just been sharing, you know, just how he impacted them. And one post that I saw has some very awesome things that he said. So one thing I want to share says 7 money and ownership lessons by Nipsey Hussle. And it says, number one, on Hustlenomics, you learn all the secrets to the game on your way up. Most folk want to skip the process. When you skip steps, you miss the lessons. Number two, on turn up versus own up, it isn't cool to be in the club spending all of this money or having cars and jewelry, but you don't own any real estate. A fourplex? If the answer is no, you're not a real hustler. Number three, entrepreneurship. The new mindset is we don't want advances, we want equity. We don't want one-off endorsements, we want ownership. Number four, black capital. Biz models are built around our culture currency. They develop the platform, implement structure, and bring us in to raise value. Number five, on breaking the chains, own the supply chain from production to consumption. People take shots at Jay-Z, but he's the first black artist to have a vertically integrated biz model where he owns the whole chain. Number six, on creating value. I released 100 mixtapes and charged $1,000 for each because I understood the economic principle of scarcity. The profit funded my independent label. Number 7, when owning real estate, I owned the block where I used to hustle from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. I hustled and I rented. Now me and David Gross will own in Crenshaw. So prayers up to his family. This is definitely some awesome stuff to just look at and try to live by and be better, and something that would help and benefit the Black community. So that's all for Hot Topics this week. Peace. Welcome to another episode of Millennial Frequency. I am Tasia.
I'm Farron.
And y'all, I hope you've had an opportunity to go check out Jordan Peele's Us. Mm-hmm. It is currently in theaters. I don't know if this is going to be out and if it's still in theaters or not, but hopefully you have seen it
at this point. Yeah,
too bad if you didn't. Yeah, I mean, we went opening weekend.
Yes.
Did you see it Friday or Saturday?
I saw it Friday.
Okay. Okay, you too good.
No, I mean,
you just had to go and run and see it. I saw it Saturday.
Like, Nick was trying to see it on Thursday. I'm like,
really?
Oh, what's going on?
I didn't really realize that it was already out until Jamil said something about it that Thursday night. And then did we see it Friday? I think we did see it Friday.
You might have saw it on Friday, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, you did see it on Friday.
I did. Mm-hmm. Because then you asked me if I had already saw it, and I was already having conversations with people on Facebook and y'all that. But anyway, y'all, so hopefully you've had an opportunity to see it. Spoiler alert, we will be talking about details about the movie, around the movie. We are not tiptoeing around it, as we should, so hopefully you feel bad and that forces you to go see the movie. Do not bootleg it while we still bootleg it in 2019.
Go pay your money.
Go give him the money. Okay, he's the Black filmmaker. He's doing crazy awesome things and he deserves it. Cool. All right. So, short synopsis about Us. You want me to go? You want to go? Okay. How can I do this without us having a 50-hour conversation about it? Us is about a young woman, or I guess, a young lady who is married with children, and they decide to go to a summer home, and she is reminded there are some crazy things that has happened in her past or her childhood that kind of drums her up, and she has to deal with it. She has to face it head on. Yes. So that is like, if you haven't seen it, quick synopsis there of it, okay? So we're going to dive right into it. What did you think about the movie?
I thought the movie was good. I always love a movie with a plot twist, a movie that has me thinking when I walk out of the theater, like, what do they mean about this? What do they mean about that? Just to let you guys know, I do not like scary movies.
But me either.
Because Jordan Peele had his name on it. I mean, his work, I had to go see it.
Right.
So, yeah, it still has me. I still think about it. I'm still thinking, like, okay, what if it meant this? Or what? I mean.
Right.
So, I always like movies like that.
You liked it? So, you liked it?
Yeah.
Okay. I liked it as well. I liked it because I immediately understood that there are two different worlds that are going on. There's a world of people that do not think about anybody outside of themselves, not because they're necessarily selfish, but they're so self-indulgent to what they're dealing with that they may not consider the underclass, the voiceless, the underprivileged. And so even if you don't understand all of the little Easter eggs that Jordan puts in it, you know that there is that thing in America where there is an underserved group of people in America that are living, that are existing, that are feeling every part of it, and they're looking at you saying, damn, why don't you see me? And that just resonates with me heavy. Like, I think I was telling Farron that me and Jamil went to a concert in Houston, and there's like this underpathway, and so we walking, you know, home from the concert dressed nice, and there's like a stream of sleeping bags where people homeless are just kind of like living under their bridge, and I felt terrible
because it's like 10 p.m. You hear the wind of the world. It's cold outside. It's dark. And they're all just kind of laying there. And I just have to kind of feel the grit of walking past and not being able to do anything. And that was the same feeling that was attached to watching this movie, because he kind of uses it in the form of tethered people. People that were tested and thrown away and nobody thinks about. But that is America. It's just a group of folks that we don't acknowledge. And what if one day they actually rose up and did something about that? What if they, because it's more of them than it is of us, right? Quote unquote us. So what if they got together and said, you will listen to me, you will hear me. To a certain extent, people of color are doing that right now. We are saying we are tired of you saying any old thing and thinking it's okay, feeling any old thing and thinking it's okay. We're going to bring it to your attention. We're going to call you out. We're going to counsel you. We're going to mute you. It's not cool no more. So I thought Jordan was super dope for that. It was a lot of stuff I didn't understand either. But I was cool with it because I was like, you get to hatch out some of those Easter egg hunts in conversation. So those are my initial feelings. It was really good also kind of being in the theater so I can kind of hear the acoustics of other people's thoughts. And what are they laughing at? Did they not understand it? Did I not understand that? I enjoyed. I know some people get annoyed when you're in the movie theater.
Talking at the screen.
I enjoy the talking at the screen.
I do, because I'm one of those. I don't do it too much now when you can't enjoy the movie. But every
right.
And those, you know, those, it's those certain parts, you know.
Right, in unison. And as, like, as a filmmaker, that feels good to know that your thought was conveyed when everyone is acknowledging something. Like, acknowledging pivotal points that are supposed to move the story. So that's always cool. Went in, watched it. Me and Jamel were stunned. In fact, we sat down and watched it to the end. We stayed through the entire credits because we were still soaking everything in. So dramatic, right? But the family beside us, which happened to be a white family, they did the same. We were just kind of like, you know, you ever seen something where you sit down and like it blows all your hair away and you try to take it in? Like, That's exactly what happened. Like, what the freak did we just watch? And we also kind of had the same pace as those people. Like, we went to the restroom, came out. They went to the restroom, came out. And then we were kind of walking out together, but not necessarily together as a pack. And I was like, so, after like 10 minutes of being in each other's presence and not saying anything to each other, they were like, so what do you think about it? And I was like, well, I think that he wants us to go spend our money again and go watch it. Because it's a lot to digest. And then once I put my seatbelt on, got in the car, everything dropped at the same time. Like, everything that was trying to process, you know, like you download something on the computer, it finally downloaded. And I was like, oh, I get it. Oh, that's what it was doing. So what was that big moment for you in the movie where you were like, okay, this is a crazy movie? Was there any twist or turn that got you the most?
That got me the most.
Yeah.
I would say the very ending got me the most.
What happened?
My opinion on the ending is totally different from anybody else's.
Okay, well, please share.
So, once Red, she takes the boy.
Her son.
Takes, what's her? Adelaide. Yeah. Adelaide's son down into the tunnel. And to lure Adelaide in. And so, you know, they get into it and Red has is sitting in front, sitting down, squatting in front of Adelaide. Adelaide is sitting in the chair, in the desk.
And explain to the people who probably don't get it.
So Red is the doppelganger.
Okay.
So she's the one who was living under this tunnel for all of these years.
She's supposed to be. No, she wasn't the doppelganger. She was the actual person.
I didn't get there.
Oh, okay, my bad.
So she's the doppelganger who's been living under the tunnel for all this time. Adelaide is the one who's been above the ground, you know. Red is Adelaide's shadow. And Red tells Adelaide all the stuff that they went through. And then the audience gets to see that actually when the girl went into that room with the mirrors, the Red actually switched with Adelaide, chained Adelaide down to a bed in the tunnel, and went out and lived her life as if she was Adelaide. So Red is, the real Red is actually Adelaide that we see. So we think that Adelaide is the protagonist in this, but I don't even think they have one at this point, because at one point, you know, one was the other. So, so I don't, nobody ever talks about this, but Red starts whispering this stuff, that this noise or these sound, this language that nobody's understanding,
right,
to her face. And to me, I thought that's when they switched, because one thing Red said is that the U.S. were testing on them, and they were doing that to just to try to control the minds of the people who live above. And one thing they didn't get right is the soul. And the people down below did not have a soul, and that's why they couldn't really control them. And that's why when they were trying to snap, Adelaide told her son to get on beat to I Got Five on it. She was off beat.
Right.
She has no soul.
Right.
She's the real doppelganger. And I thought when she was whispering that stuff to Adelaide, quote-unquote Adelaide, she switched. So she switched and her soul went into that body. And but I don't know. Nobody else really got that. But because when they got into a tough, when they went into that locker room, they got into that tough, the Adelaide made that noise. I mean, she made the noise when she broke Red's neck. And she, you know, she made that weird noise, that same face and noise that Red did when they were in the cabin.
Right.
So, you know, when she made that face, you know.
Yeah, I was trying to connect, like, what the hell is this demon coming out? I didn't know what was going on.
And that's what made me think that they switched. And she was acting all weird when she was getting Jason out of the locker.
Her son. She got her life back, is basically what you're saying. So
she got Jason out of the,
wow.
And then when she went into the ambulance, she was like pulling her hair back, saying, it's me. Like, why wouldn't it be you? And I feel that's why it was, and that's why she gave him that little smirk. Like, the little boy, the smirk.
Oh. Well, do you think the little boy is actually the little boy?
I didn't think that at first, but when I started listening to other people's reasons of why they thought that, I was like, could be.
It's a few things about him, but the one thing that stuck out is I feel like he's the tethered, because, you know, why did he take that bunny home? There was something about that bunny in the underworld that he brought with him. Why did he take
what bunny?
He had like one of the little rabbits. He took it home with him.
A real rabbit?
Yeah.
Oh,
you didn't catch that?
I don't remember that. Yeah, I didn't catch it.
Yeah. And he was able to control the other version of himself, and was literally burning him up every time he was doing that flicker. So yeah, the magic trick wasn't working on one end, but it was working on the other down below. Man, y'all, this movie just has so many layers. So what we want to do at this point is kind of highlight a few things. We highlight the big plot twist. What was your favorite part of the movie?
My favorite part?
Right.
Probably when they first ended up in the driveway. I gotta give a shout out to Jordan Peele for how he can add that comedy in there at the right times, because you know that was funny when Winston Duke was like trying to intimidate the family that was at the end of the driveway, which I think that was a point when I was talking at the screen, like, what are you doing? Get out, go back inside. Like, you out here with this bat. And he got hurt, like, right at the beginning of the whole.
It stayed hurt.
But I like that part. Because it was like, oh, shit. When she made that click-click noise and they all scattered. I was like, oh, shit. Like, that was, like, had me. I was at attention. Like, all into it. Yeah.
I think my favorite part was learning that it wasn't just their family, that it was also the white family that they were cool with, that also had a version of us. That caught me off. I was feeling like that could have happened, but then once they actually got to the house and showed us, oh, snap, they got their own versions too, it kind of tripped me out. And they weren't on their feet about it as much as, I guess, Adelaide's family. Like, they didn't react as quick. They all got taken out within, like seconds. Like that. So that tripped me out, because in comparison to the black community, we go through so much and we're able to deal with things a little bit quicker, and it may hurt, it may be painful, but we're not fragile. Our minds can just snap in it. You get what I'm trying to say? Like, different struggles that different communities have, some communities are stronger than others.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
In their
livelihood, you know. We may have tragedies that happen in our own neighborhoods and our own communities. They're bad, like slavery. Let's use slavery. Slavery is supposed to have wiped us all out. Mm-hmm. None of our ancestors are so brave to have even made it for mm-hmm. us to be here, yeah. for us to be able to speak the language that yeah. that was stolen. You know, we had to adopt this language, we had to adopt these customs, we had to adopt their religion, we had to adopt so much. So I know it just seems like I'm going so deep, but that's what I kind of saw it as. Is no matter what Black people go through, we're still able to have survival methods that no other groups are really able to have.
I don't like that.
We're able to react quick. And I just instantly felt that way after kind of analyzing that this is what I think that this movie is about. Our reactionary way to things, it may not be perfect, but it's fit enough to survive. It's fit enough to fight through.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really enjoyed that. And I also enjoyed how, I think somebody pointed out, was it you?
What?
With the white mother, she was cutting herself, but she only didn't kill Adeline because she was trying to find a way to look like her. She was trying to find a different way to cosmetically create herself like that. Yeah, she was,
because when they were on the beach, the real lady, mm-hmm. not the red one, she was saying about, oh, do I look any different? I got this surgery.
Right.
And she was like, well, you kind of look the same. She was like, you know, yeah, that's kind of the point. But, yeah.
Right. So, yeah, that tripped me out. I really enjoyed them going in and taking over that house. Like, not only did we defend ourselves in our cabin, we can come over here and still mm-hmm. kick ass in this one. So, I thought it was good. Any notes, anything where you just like, Jordan, what were you doing?
Well, I had quit. Like, I was like, when they show the flashback and the girl, the baby Red and the baby Adelaide, like, doing the same things, and all the other doppelgangers doing the same things with the mm-hmm. same clothes on, like, pretending like they were on the rides at the amusement park and stuff. I was like, where did they get these clothes to make these different changes? Where did they get all these golden scissors?
That's what my mentor said. Yeah, everybody got red jumpsuits.
Like, where did they get all these different clothes? Outfit changes is what my main concern was, and the scissors. So, yeah, those are questions.
And why the scissors? I wanted to know that, too.
Because they kind of mirror. Because when you look at the thing, it's like two heads. So, it's kind of like
cut it together. Cut that version of yourself off. Mm-hmm. Ooh, yeah. Ew, deep.
Yeah.
Deep, deep, deep. I'm just going to put it out there. I think that everyone's performance was awesome. I think that Winston Duke did a great job. Before I give him the criticism, because I don't know if this criticism goes to him or if it goes to Jordan Peele, I did not enjoy the relationship dynamic. I didn't enjoy it, not because I didn't like it, because it's not a judge. It's more or less I didn't understand it. I honestly didn't understand where he stood with his wife. For him to be that out of tune, like, are y'all together? Are y'all separated? Are you divorced? I mean, there's a certain sense of being oblivious, but not so much when you're in a relationship with somebody that you don't know how they're feeling. You're not reacting to how they feel at all.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little narcissistic to me. And I didn't read his character as being narcissistic. I think that he was one of those dads who definitely wanted the American dream. He definitely mm-hmm. wanted to kind of put himself at the same heights as his counterparts, not knowing that he's doing better. Because y'all own the house. They Airbnb in their house.
Mm-hmm.
You own your boat. Mm-hmm. He's renting his boat. But you still can't be that out of tune with your partner. And I feel like it's important, especially if you're going to have a dark melanated family, to show some form of family dynamic, because it sucks that we have to teach each other about how to love or what Black love looks like, even if it's no, even if it's not there, but we still need to see that. Mm-hmm. I just felt like it's, here's a husband, here's a wife, here are their two kids. Mm-hmm. I feel like we understood how they felt with their children, but I don't think that we understood what they felt together. Okay. And you can correct that with me, but I was like, damn, you dropped the ball with that.
Yeah.
It's not about, because he got a lot of criticism about being corny. Everybody's dad is not rough and tough like Afro Puffs. Okay? Everyone is not like this. So I'm cool with him not being the stereotypical black man. Yeah. I just wasn't cool with, like, dude, okay, and maybe I'm just wrong. You know, you're in the car. That's a classic. Okay? I didn't feel that. If I had to give him, like, some character notes, that's a classic. I don't know many brothers that kind of talk about that in reference to I Got Five on It.
I mean, it is a classic.
The way he said it, though. Would you say, have you ever heard anyone say that? That didn't seem black American to me.
What? That's a classic?
The way he said that's a classic. The way he said that's a classic. And I can pull it up to you, for you to hear exactly how he said it. Because I think he says it in the trailer. But it was just, that was weird. When she was offbeat, why didn't you correct her?
He was driving and she was kind of in the back seat, like she leaned over to show him.
Black people hear snaps. Black people can hear when you're snapping. I don't know. He had the Howard paraphernalia on. I thought that was cool. I think the only thing is I was trying to figure out why he didn't take it off when he was in the bed. I know I'm being nitpicky, but usually, especially if you're trying to get sexy for your wife, when you get sexy, he had his boxers on, he had his thighs kind of spread out, but you keep the crew neck on? That was weird to me. Why didn't he take that off?
Wanted her to take it off.
I don't know. I didn't read that when I saw it. But I know a lot of people were kind of like against some of my thoughts, which is cool. Because they were saying he was the comic relief. I was like, that's not necessarily an attack on his character. It was more of an attack on the relationship. That's really my biggest critique when it comes to that. I think the kids were awesome. Mm-hmm. I think Lopita needs every award you can find. Mm-hmm. Please give her every award you can find. She killed it. And we also have to keep in mind that they all were playing two characters. Mm-hmm. Each and every one of them. So that was pretty dope. Did you notice that they were the only black family in the whole movie? Like, even on the beach, there were no other black people.
When they were all holding hands?
No. I'm saying, like, just in general, yeah. In that world.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, a lot of people were saying that it happened over the world. Like, it only happened in the U.S.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's why she said, we can go to Mexico when she was first afraid before they came and attacked. A lot of people thought that the little boy was also a doppelganger.
Mm-hmm.
Because they thought maybe the switch happened because he got stuck in the closet. That's why he keep that little ambulance there. And he got stuck in the closet, but his sister knocked it out and he got stuck. And then later on, she was like, whenever he hit it to the beach, she was like, didn't that happen to you last year? Getting stuck in the closet?
Now, here's my only thing about that. Okay, he would still have time to learn the language. He would still need time to learn a whole new language because the people who lived on the underworld, they don't speak anything, right?
That's true.
So that's the only reason for me that cancels it out.
Yeah.
Because he made voice a big deal with the red character and her not having her voice but having just enough. So how is it that he would be able to learn it that quick? He didn't talk much, but he still understood what was going on. So when people were throwing that to me, that was the one thing I was like, I don't know though.
Yeah, and then they also said that they're half and half, the kids. All the kids are half and half. Which was like, I didn't think about that either.
Oh, he just got a lot going. They're
half human, both sets, up and above and below.
Lord have mercy. Well, we are running out of time, y'all. Yeah. I want y'all to get into the comment section. It is so many things that we didn't even touch. I'm pretty sure I can speak for myself that I sound like I'm all over the place. But that's the cool thing about movies like Us. And mm-hmm. hopefully we get so many more so that we can...
So many more. And a lot of people think that he might do a universe thing where this is just a part of the same universe as Get Out. And he might be just doing different movies. And then maybe we'll see a movie with them combined or, you know, they cross paths.
Okay.
So I would love to see that in this universe.
That'd be super cool. Yeah. Dang, that's deep. If he does, then he has some hits on his hand because we're going to keep watching it. Yeah. He did $70.3 million in his opening weekend.
Yes, he's marked to hit $100 million after this weekend.
Wow,
yeah,
really?
I read that somewhere, yeah.
And then you said that he made $20 million, he needed $20 million to do it.
Oh, Jamel said it, yeah.
Oh, Jamel said it. Okay, wow, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. Have you seen Us yet? Please get into the comment section. Let us know what you think. Do you feel like we spoiled this for you? Did we ignite you to go see it again? Let us know what you think. And thanks for listening to us. This is another episode of Millennial Frequency. And we're out. All right, y'all. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Millennial Frequency. As always, we appreciate your listening and your engagement. We definitely want you to make sure that you're following us on all social media platforms. So where can they find us, Ferry?
You can find us on Instagram under Millennial Frequency, on Facebook, Millennial Frequency Podcast, and on Twitter as Millennial Freak, FREQ1.
Absolutely. And if you want to find us on our personal pages as well on social media, you can find me on Instagram as well as Twitter as I_am_TEZYA.
All right. And you can find me on Instagram, Sofrio_87, Facebook, Fair Monique Jackson, and on Twitter as Bohemian Baddie or Rastafarian. Yeah, and then also, if you want to email us questions or have any feedback or anything, you can also hit up our email account, which is millennialfrequency18@gmail.com.
Absolutely. Is there anything you want to hear, something that we haven't talked about, a very specialty topic that you're just burning for us to have a discussion about, definitely get in the comment section or DM us or email us as well.
Yes, and make sure you hit the link in the bio to get the platforms on where we're posted and check us out.
Check us out. Okay, guys, I hope you have a great day. Stay blessed. And as always, you were listening to Millennial Frequency. I'm Tasia.
And I am Farron.
And we're out.